Wonderful to be here tonight, and I appreciate how the Lord has been working in every service. If you want to turn with us here tonight to St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and then we'll be going to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. But I appreciate the services. I love the theme of this meeting of the old-time way and old-time religion and what these men of God have spoken to us about. I love the message last night about knowing our identity and who we are. We are Pentecostal holiness people. Amen. And I believe that this morning, if you have any question about what has been preached this week, I believe the Holy Ghost set his seal of approval on it this morning. He confirmed the word of God with signs following as he moved among us in this place. And we give God the praise for it. And if you and I will keep those two doctrines and truths close to us, the Pentecostal experience and the holiness experience, God will bless us. Amen. Would you like to stand one more time for the reading of the word of the Lord here tonight? St. John chapter 14 and verse number 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. I want you to notice the last part of this verse. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And after we read this scripture, I want you to help us pray over the message tonight and over the altar. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen. Before you're seated, would you help me pray? I want to preach tonight on being possessed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would you help me pray, Father, here tonight? Thank you, Lord, for every young man, every young lady that is in this service and throughout this meeting, how our hearts have been touched already. And I'm praying that in this service tonight and in this altar that the power of the Holy Ghost would overshadow this building one more time. Lord God, that you would complete the work of God that has been begun in every service, that has been increasing within our heart. Our faith has been built up. Every service, every message, Lord, we've been built up. And I pray here tonight that the glory of God would fill this sanctuary, that you would baptize our young people in the Holy Ghost. Fulfill your promise, Lord, that in the last days you would pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, upon our sons and upon our daughters. We'll praise you and honor you for it in the mighty name of Jesus, and let all of the church say amen. Praise God. Amen. It was preached to us earlier in the week, maybe the first message as we got started in this meeting, about the time in which we live, perilous times, as they preached to us, Brother Jonathan, about the word of God and the power that it has in our life. One thing I want you to understand, young people, about this age in which we live is the Bible is very clear that in the end time, there's going to be an increase in demonic activity throughout the world. Seducers are going to wax worse and worse. There's going to be doctrines of devils, and there's going to be spirits that will seduce people. And they'll turn away from the faith, turn away from what they know that is right. We also know the Bible teaches us that as time goes on, the spirit of Antichrist is going to be taking over this whole world. And by the time it's all over, the Antichrist is going to rule on this world for a period of time. And what that lets us know is, young people, we need the power of the Holy Ghost more in this hour than any other generation in the United States of America. Can you say amen to that? We are in need of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here in this hour, it's sad that many, many of our young people are speaking in tongues, but they have very little power. There's more speaking in tongues today than in previous generations, but there's less power being exhibited in our lives. We have young people that claim to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but yet they're bound by oppression, and they're bound by fear, bound by anxiety, in some cases bound by lust and other things that are controlling their mind. Amen. And they're not at liberty in the freedom that the Holy Ghost should bring within our life. There's some of our young people who don't understand. There's a confusion in their mind and in their heart, amen, as to what it takes to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know tonight that before you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you must be saved. You must be washed in the blood. You must be born again. Amen. You can't just come up to the altar and lift up your hands and just expect to enjoy the blessings of God and for the Holy Ghost to come into your life and the Spirit of God to fill you until you've first been saved and washed in the blood. Amen. There's some of our young people that don't understand what it takes to get the Holy Ghost. They don't understand what it takes to keep the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some young people at one time had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but like Samson, who the Spirit of the Lord left him, and he did not even know that the Lord had left him. And some of our young people are still speaking in tongues, but they do not have a real experience in the Holy Ghost anymore. Amen. We do not believe in once saved, always saved. Isn't that right? Amen. We don't believe in once saved, always saved, but neither do we believe in once filled, always filled. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is an experience that you must keep up to date. It must be fresh in your life. But sadly today, the baptism of the Holy Ghost has been diminished to nothing more than just an emotional experience. And many of our young people want to feel something, and they want to be blessed around the altar, but that is not the end result of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is good to feel the presence of God, and it's good to be able to shout. But the end result of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what our Lord said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And in this generation, what that generation had, that we must have in this generation, amen, is yes, we need Pentecostal worship, as Brother Shoecraft preached to us. And it'll take that, and it'll take the Bible, amen, to get the end result. And the end result is that have the power of the Holy Ghost to fill us as young people. Can you say amen? To add to this confusion in many young people's heart about whether or not, what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or do I have it, or do I still have it? There are some people who have preached and have taught and brought a lot of confusion to our children's mind that you receive everything at the moment you're saved. That there is no separate work of the Holy Ghost within our life. That there's no distinction between being born of the Spirit and being baptized with the Spirit. But I want to tell you just a few moments here, young people, that it is two separate, distinct experiences within our life. That you must be born of the Spirit, and then you can be baptized in the Spirit. And we see this in both testaments in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, Passover, when Israel came out of Egypt, the blood was shed and applied to the doorpost. And the death angel, the children of God escaped the death angel because of the blood. But it was a time after that when Feast of Pentecost came. The blood came and then came Pentecost. Amen. I said the blood came and then came Pentecost. You see it also in the cleansing of the leper. In the cleansing of the leper. The leper was a type of sin. But when Aaron the high priest would cleanse a leper, he would take the blood that was shed and put it on the tip of his right ear and his right thumb and the big toe of his right foot. And then he would come behind the blood and he would take the anointing oil, the holy anointing oil, and take the oil and put it on the same spot, on top of the earlobe and on top of the thumb and on top of the toe of the right foot. The blood came and then the oil came, representing the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Jesus was born, the Bible said the Holy Ghost overshadowed him. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. So it might be said of Christ that he was born of the Spirit of God. Amen. And for 30 years he lived a sinless life in the power of the Spirit that was in him, working in him at that time. But then when he was baptized, the Holy Ghost came down from heaven in the form of a dove, and it rested upon him. And that was a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it was then that the Lord went into the temple and opened up the book to Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me." Christ was first born of the Spirit, and then he was baptized in the Spirit before he went forth and done great things for God. It was a baptism of power within his life. Amen. You see that same thing in the life of the disciples. Amen. They were saved, called to preach, working miracles, casting out demons and devils. The evidence in their life of salvation is overwhelming. But the Lord told them to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. And thereafter his resurrection, as he met with them, the Bible said he breathed upon them. He breathed upon those that were already saved. He breathed upon those that were already children of God and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Praise God. They were saved first, and then the Holy Ghost came. You see it in Acts chapter number 8 at Samaria, when revival broke out and souls were saved and demons were cast out. Amen. But when the church heard in Jerusalem about the mighty revival that had broken out in Samaria, amen, there's one thing that was missing. They heard of the miracles. They heard of the palsies. They heard of the demons being cast out. But nobody received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so they sent two premier apostles, Peter and John, down to Samaria. And the only mission they had was to pray for those that had been saved and those that had been delivered to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. They laid their hands on them, and those that were saved were then baptized. Amen. Saul, and when he was saved, he went down to a street called Straight. He cried out when he saw Jesus and called him Lord. Amen. When he went to that street called Straight, and the Lord spoke to Ananias, he said, "Go down and pray for him that his eyes would be opened and that he would be filled with the Holy Ghost." And I like how the Bible portrays it when Ananias walked into where Saul had been fasting and praying for 3 days. How many know you don't fast and pray for 3 days, amen, in sincerity, with your eyes being blinded, amen, knocked down to the ground by the midday sun, unless you've been born again? No man calleth him Lord but by the Spirit of God. Amen. He was saved. But when Ananias came, he laid his hands on him, and Paul said, "I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all." He got saved, and then he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. In Acts chapter number 19, I don't know if we have any Baptist believers here tonight. Amen. But in Acts chapter number 19, you'll find the first Baptist revival. Praise God. Amen. You know the first Baptist preacher was John the Baptist. Oh, yes, he was. John the Baptist was a holy roller. Praise God. John the Baptist believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, amen, he was a shouter before he was ever even born. He was shouting in his mother's womb. Come on now. Hey, God, the first Baptist preacher, when he started preaching, he said, "There's coming one after me. I'm not worthy to bow down and loose his shoes, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And those 12 Baptist disciples in Acts chapter 19, they said, "Well, we never even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Amen. And Paul said, "Have you received it since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "We've not ever even heard of it." Hey, Amen. Oh, what an indictment against the Pentecostal movements that we have people sitting in our pews. You don't have it, but it's not because you hadn't heard it preached. You don't have it, but it's not because you didn't know anything about it. But they said, we didn't hear it. We didn't know it. But he preached Christ unto them. Amen. They were rebaptized in the name of the Lord. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. You get saved and then you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But preacher, I really don't understand that. If you are born again of the Spirit and the Spirit of Christ comes in you at conversion, and he does, because the Bible says if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Amen. And so we're born again of the Spirit, and salvation, conversion is a work of the Holy Ghost in our life. Well, how is it then, preacher, that you can be saved and born of the Spirit but not be filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost? Amen. That's the thrust of my message right here tonight. Amen. Amen. And I want us to look what the Bible said here in 1 Corinthians. It told us that we receive not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is from God. Amen. Young people, there is a spirit of the world. There is a spirit in the world. We are spiritual beings, whether you are saved or lost tonight. Amen. You are a spiritual being. And you will either receive the spirit that is of the world, or you will receive the spirit that is of God. Amen. Amen. And I want us to look at this tonight, because, amen, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Amen. I believe here tonight that we may be able to look at how the spirit of the world that now works in the children of disobedience, the spirit of the world that works in a sinner's life, we can compare spiritual things with spiritual. I want us to look at how the devil operates within a person's life, and then I want us to look at how the Holy Ghost can operate in your life as a child of God. Amen. I'll not take time to read the scriptures, but the Bible tells us that a sinner, 1 John, if you read 1 John, it tells us that a sinner is of the devil, that his father is the devil. And our Lord even went on and said, the lust of your father ye will do. Amen. Which is the devil. If you're here tonight and you're lost, then you must realize you're given to the spirit of the world. Your father is the devil, and the devil is working in your life. But you don't have to stay that way. In this altar tonight, you can turn your life to Christ. Amen. You can change fathers. You can change spirits. And you can have the Spirit of God in your life. But a sinner is of the devil. His father is the devil. The Bible teaches us that every man is drawn away with his own lust and enticed. And Jesus called Satan the tempter. So it is the tempter, Satan, that draws us away, that pulls us away, that entices us and seduces us away from God. Amen. And so a sinner, he can be of the devil. And he can have the devil tempting him and pulling him, working in his life for toward destruction. And he can do all of that without being possessed of the devil. Now I want to talk to you a moment about what demon possession is. Demon possession is when an evil spirit comes inside and takes control of your very being. Amen. It takes control of your thoughts. It takes control of your actions. And you are no longer in control. A sinner that is bound by sin is the servant of sin, but he has a choice. A sinner that has the spirit of the world, they can turn away, and oftentimes they do, but then they find themselves going right back to it. They don't have the power to stop it, but they do have some ability to say no. But when you get possessed of the devil, he takes control of your life. Amen. Several years ago, when we were in the storefront building, and we had not been in our storefront very long, probably now, I'd say maybe 17 years ago, there was a man who came in one night at revival service. And you could tell by his appearance that he was homeless. And he was very, very unkempt and very dirty. And he came and sat toward the back of the church. Our storefront building was only 25 feet wide and about 30 foot deep. And so it was easy to spot him. And as I turned the service to the evangelist, he arose and began to make a disturbance in the service. It was apparent he was on alcohol and he was drunk. And so I came off the little platform, carried him out the side door, to talk to him. And so the service could go on. And as I talked to him, his name was Daniel. And I began to question him what was going on in his life. He lived in the woods across the highway behind the shopping center. He was an alcoholic, and he told me, "Preacher, I hate alcohol. I don't know why I drink alcohol. And every time I drink it, it makes me sick. And so I really don't want it." And after a little bit, I was young, but I really didn't take me long to figure it out. I said, "Sir, can I tell you what is wrong with you?" And he said, "What is that?" I said, "You have a spirit. You are demon possessed, and you need the Lord to deliver you." Amen. At the end of the preaching, we could hear what was going on. We walked back into the sanctuary and invited. I said, "Would you like to come in and pray?" And as we began to pray with that man, Brother Russell McDonald was there. Brother Shannon McDonald was there. Others were visiting with us in that service. His face began to twist and be distorted. He began to bleed from his gums as the spirit inside of him began to rise up, and the devil began to rise up as we began to pray with cursings. Amen. He would curse and we would have to rebuke the devil. But I told you this, young people, to cause you to realize when you are possessed of the devil, he controls your life. May I say right here, if you're playing with anything that's going to open up your life to demonic activity, if you're dealing with anything in your life of occultism, amen, or violence or horror or video games that are demonic in nature, you are opening yourself up to demon possession. Amen. There are also religious spirits in this world. And if you play around with these false religions, amen, these religions that are not right and not holy, you're opening yourself up to be possessed also by a religious spirit. Amen. I told him, I said, the reason why you're living in the woods is because that spirit is controlling you. The reason you drink alcohol when you don't want to is that spirit is controlling you, and you're out of control. He is in control of your life. Amen. And that is what we need, young people. Amen. That will get full of the Holy Ghost and allow the Spirit of God to take possession of your life. Amen. Because here is the comparison. You may be saved and born again of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God works in your life. He blesses you and He helps you and touches you. As a Christian, you're born of the Spirit. Amen. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is a greater infilling of power. He comes in and really He takes control of your life. Amen. It's more than speaking in tongues. I would have loved to hear Brother Shad's message this morning on the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And we know the initial evidence is speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. But young people, you should not be seeking to speak in tongues alone. You should not be seeking just to feel something. You should be seeking for the Holy Ghost to take control of your mind and of your heart, of your soul and life, that you would really reach a point where He takes complete control of who you are and He begins to make the decisions that are necessary in your life. Praise God. For that to happen, amen, there may be some things we need to do. Amen. And comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen. Most of you young people are very familiar with Legion in the Bible. He is a man that was possessed of many devils. Amen. So many devils that, amen, that we don't know, maybe 2,000, some say as many as 6,000 spirits had entered into his body and was in control of his life. Well, one thing I want you to notice about Legion, the Bible said that they bound him with fetters. They bound him with chains. And he would break those fetters and chains. The spirit that was on the inside of him was stronger than any external force that tried to bind him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The spirit that was on the inside of him was stronger than any external force that was outside of him. And I believe if you will get possessed with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that will be in your life will be greater than any force outside that tries to bind you down.
down. Because listen, you may be under the blood and you can't be demon possessed, but you can be demon oppressed. And the devil can oppress you with fear, and the devil can oppress you with anxiety, and the devil can oppress you with the feelings and lust, amen, that you don't need in your life, amen. And oh, if you've got the power of the Holy Ghost, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And if you get full of the Holy Ghost, the devil will never be able to bind you down. The Holy Ghost will always give you power to break the chains and set you free. Hallelujah. I love the service this morning. I love what the Holy Ghost had to say. Because I told my wife in my time of prayer for this service that the Lord had dealt with me that there were young people that are bound in this service. You know, the Apostle Paul, I believe he wrote Hebrews, but in Hebrews, he tells us in chapter 12, lay aside the sin and the weight that doth so easily beset you. And he's talking to the church. Amen. And there's sometimes we get bound down by things, and things begin to wrap around us and chain us down. Amen. I am praying. I felt like there was children, young people, young adults in this service tonight, that you are bound by some relationships that you'd really like to break free from. Amen. You may be bound, young man, to a girl, and she's pulled your heart in the wrong direction. It's not what you thought you really wanted it to be. And you've prayed for God to somehow help you break free from it. And you haven't been able to give her the news. And you're worried about what everybody else is going to say. Or perhaps it's a young girl, and that young man is not being holy in your relationship, and he's not treating you like a young gentleman ought to treat you. And he's saying things, and he's reaching his hands out and touching you, and you know that it's wrong, and you'd like to break free from it. I want to preach to you, if you'll get full of the Holy Ghost, he'll give you power to break free from the chains that hell would like to place upon you tonight. You can break free from friendships, amen, that are pulling you away from God. You can break free from people that have you chained down to carnality, that have you chained down to things that are taking your victory. You get full of the Holy Ghost, he'll give you power to break the chains. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You're bound in this service tonight by anxiety and fear. Amen. Excuse me. God will give you power in this service to break those chains. This morning's service was powerful. And you might have came up here and you feel like the Lord really done it for me. But you know how it's been time after time after time. Altar after altar after altar. When you get back home and you get back under those circumstances and that spirit of oppression begins to oppress your mind, you're not at fire conference. You're not around the rest of the young people. The and youth pastor are not available. You need something inside of you that'll give you power, amen, to resist the devil, that'll give you power to rebuke the devil. Our Lord said, I give unto you power. That word power is exousia, amen. It means authority. Thank God. I give you power to tread upon scorpions and upon serpents and over all the power of the enemy. And young people, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost so you can rebuke the devil, so you can resist the devil to the point that he must flee in your life. When nobody else is around, God will give you that kind of power. Hallelujah. I pastor young people as well that are oppressed by anxiety and fear. Brother Webb, like you, they call me on the phone. Amen. Since I've been at this meeting, I've had several phone calls. Young people wanted me to pray for them over the phone. But Pastor, I got to have God to help me. Weeping and crying on the phone. The devil's tormenting my mind. The devil's tormenting my soul. And do not get me wrong. My phone is available 24 hours as well as these other men of God. But there's going to come a time you can't get the phone call through. There's going to come a time, amen, you can't touch nobody else. You can do it yourself. You can get a hold of it. Brother Douglas last night preached to us. Amen. You need to know who you are. You need to know what your identity is. Amen. Get blood washed and get full of the Holy Ghost and stand flat-footed in the face of hell and say, I rebuke you out of my mind. I rebuke you out of my heart. I rebuke you out of my spirit. I rebuke you out of my thoughts. I'm not going to listen to it anymore. And the Holy Ghost will give you power to break the chains. Hallelujah. Legion could not be bound by what was outside of him. But also you notice about Legion that the Bible tells us that he wear no clothes. Amen. That spirit that was on the inside of him controlled his external appearance. Amen. The spirit that was inside of him told him what he could and could not wear. Do you think that man in his right mind would have went around running through the streets and crying, and amen, and so people would draw attention to himself and him unclothed? No, but he was not in control of it. He had yielded himself to the spirit of the world. He had yielded himself to a demonic spirit, and it was in control. And I just happen to believe tonight that if a man can get so full of the devil that the devil can control his outward appearance, I believe we got young men and young ladies here tonight that you can get enough of the Holy Ghost inside of you that the Spirit of God can control what you wear. He can control your outward appearance. Amen. You may be talking in tongues, but if the Holy Ghost is not telling you what to wear, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You may be shouting and talking in tongues, but if you're dressing worldly and you're rebelling against the man of God and you're rebelling against your parents, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost will be in control of what you wear. Amen. Here this week, as these men of God preached to you, how did you accept it? Amen. How did you receive the word of God of holiness that was being preached? Amen. Amen. Hey, young fellas, young men, praise God. You get full of the Holy Ghost, he's going to control what your appearance is. Amen. You're not going to dress like a girl and look like a girl. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 9, it gives a list of those that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. It starts out with the adulterers and the fornicators, all those wicked people. It gets really wicked. Idolaters and abusers of themselves with mankind. That means the outright homosexual. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're a homosexual, Jesus loves you and he'd like to save you from that wicked spirit that's got a hold of your life. And he would like to set you free and put you on the road to heaven. He died for your sin and he loves you and wants to change you. Hallelujah. But the next word was effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What is that? You know, that's a boy that dresses like a girl. Amen. He walks like a girl. He talks like a girl. Amen. He fixes his hair like a girl. Amen. He wears girly clothes. Amen. Amen. He wears blouses. Amen. He wears capri pants. He wears flowers that are feminine and soft. Amen. He fixes his hair like a girl. He's got a poof on top of his head. Amen. Amen. That's effeminate. Amen. When you look up that word, effeminate, in the original, it's malakos. And that word means soft or fine clothing. Amen. Soft or fine clothing. The only other two places that word is used is in the Gospels, where it talks about John the Baptist. And the Lord said, who'd you go out there to see? Did you go out there to see a man in soft raiment? Amen. The Lord said, what'd you go out there to see? A sissy boy? Praise God. You didn't go to see no priest tail. Come on now. You went out there to see a man of God who's clothed. Amen. He's got on a leather. Amen. Girl about him. And a camel's hair. Thank God. He was wearing a camel hair jacket before it was in style. Praise God. That's whenever it was poor. But they knew he was a man. And they knew he was a man of God. And can I tell you, young men, when you get the Holy Ghost, amen, you'll dress like a man. You'll walk like a man. You'll talk like a man. You'll act like a man. Because the Holy Ghost will control you. Amen. the spirit inside of him controlled his appearance. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't believe this egg beater hairdos is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jailed up, spiked up, worldly look. That's the spirit of the world. I was preaching a youth camp, Richlands Tabernacle, Brother Webb, you were there. Amen. I was preaching one night, not this message, but I got to dealing with appearance, and I got to dealing with hairdos on young men. And there was a young boy there, and I didn't pick my message when I saw him. I knew what I was going to preach before I got there because I prayed it through like I did tonight. Amen. And so I was preaching on that, and that young boy told me this the next day. He said, Brother Johnson, I want to tell you, you was preaching last night about my spiked up hairdo. By the way, that's the way the homosexuals wear theirs. Amen. You was preaching on my spiked up hairdo. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you really don't want me to fix my hair like this, and I'm not going to call his name because most of you know him. Amen. He said, if you really don't want me to fix my hair like this, whenever I get through praying tonight, let it be flat to my head. Amen. Well, the power of God got to moving and the Holy Ghost got to working. He got to praying and sweating. And them boys up at Richlands got to praying for him. Amen. When he looked in the mirror after church, not one hair was sticking up off of the top of his head. Amen. That's been 3 years ago. I saw him not long ago, and he's still combing his hair like a man ought to comb his hair. Amen. Oh, praise God. Don't sit down on me, boys, now. They'll know you're guilty. Amen. I said they'll know you got that spirit of the world. Amen. Be a man and take it like a man. Praise God. I mean, I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. Amen. I'm from L.A., Lower Alabama. You might can tell that by my lingo. Amen. But my daddy raised us rough, brother. Amen. We worked. Amen. We weren't afraid to get our hands dirty. We weren't afraid to mess up our hair. Amen. I never did work. Amen. And pinning flowers together. I never did. Amen. Want to be a hairdresser. Amen. Amen. My brother one time, my brother Bruce, he's not here so I can say this. Amen. He got an earring. We had backslid. He got an earring in his ear. And Brother Judd, he pulled up alongside of my daddy. And he was trying to kind of hide it, you know, turning his head around. And my daddy looked at him and said, son, you can take it out or I can jerk it out your earlobe. Amen. Whichever one you choose. And so he reached up immediately and took it out. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't know the left side. Amen. The left side means you're straight and the right side means you're queer. But I say you're only that far from being a queer. Come on here now. Amen. I don't want anybody to mistake me, amen, for a homosexual. I don't want anybody to mistake me for effeminate and being soft. Amen. I tell you what you ought to do. Get you a good haircut. Amen. Comb your hair like a young man. Let the Holy Ghost show you how to dress. Let the Holy Ghost show you how to fix your hair. Now I know God's covenant with Noah was a rainbow, but I'm not about to put a rainbow sticker on my vehicle. Amen. Praise God. And when the homosexual movement takes it as their icons and as their symbols, amen, I believe I'm going to stay away from it. Praise God. Amen. The spirit that was inside of him controlled what he wore. I read in Mark chapter number 9 where there was a demon possessed boy. And the Lord asked him, his parents said, how long has this boy had this problem? And his father said, of a child. He was demon possessed of a child. Amen. I just happen to believe, amen, that if a young child can get full of the devil and the devil control that child's life, I believe all these young children around here tonight can get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My oldest daughter was 5 years old at Allentown, a youth camp. When Brother Shad, I heard her praying, but Brother Shad came up to me and he said, Brother Rusty, you need to come see this. Amen. And I walked over there, my 5-year-old girl was laid out in her mother's lap. I'd seen her play at a church at home. I'd seen her shout at home. But Brother Lord, this was different. Amen. This was real. Amen. And she was baptized with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues as a 5-year-old child. And she gave her first message in tongues out when she was 12 years old. I say the Holy Ghost can baptize our children and fill our young people. But that spirit that had that child was a deaf and dumb spirit. And what that meant was that the spirit inside, the demon inside that boy controlled what he said, controlled what he heard, amen. He was a deaf mute, amen. He was dumb and could not speak and he could not hear. And if that boy could get so full of the devil that the devil could control what he would hear, why can't we have a group of young people that would get so full of the Holy Ghost, amen, that we don't have to worry about you riding down the highway by yourself and turning the dial or popping in a country rock and roll CD or an ungodly Christian music so-called CD. We don't have to worry about what you're listening to, but the Spirit of God inside of you will control what you hear. It will control what's coming in through the inlet of your ears. I believe you can. I believe you can get so full of God that there won't be any pressure so great that you can't overcome it. Praise God.
Amen. That you'll listen to the Word of God. When the Holy Ghost gets control of your hearing, you'll listen to, amen, the preacher when he's preaching. You'll listen to the Sunday school teacher and the youth director. You'll listen. You'll hear sound counsel. You'll hear godly instruction. Amen. You'll hear whenever, amen, those that are in authority in your life call you aside and say, hey, the Lord has dealt with me. And when the Holy Ghost gets control of you, if you're rebelling against what you're hearing from your parents, quit speaking in tongues. It's not the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're rebelling against your pastor and the authority in your life, quit speaking in tongues. Pray through until the Holy Ghost possesses your life and begins to control what you hear, because you will lend your ear to the truth of God if you really have the Holy Ghost. And that spirit controlled what he said, amen. And when the Holy Ghost controls you, he'll be in control of what you say. Are you a gossiper? Amen. Do you like to spread everything you hear? Then the Holy Ghost is not in control of your tongue. Do you use profanity and tell 50 dirty jokes and you're always talking lewdness? You and your little buddies get along alone beside yourselves and you talk about the girls in a lewd way, in a filthy, perverted way. Amen. You don't have the real Holy Ghost. He doesn't have control of your tongue. Amen. The initial evidence is whenever he takes control of your tongue. It's the most unruly member of the body. Amen. Oh, and when God gets a hold of your tongue, amen, he can have full possession of who you are. Oh, would you get full of the Holy Ghost, that he will control your tongue and you will pray and you will sing psalms and you will worship God. You won't sit in church and talk while worship is going on. The Holy Ghost will control your tongue. You won't go to the back and to the bathroom and keep on yakking, but the Holy Ghost will control your tongue. It's easy to come up here around the altar and show off your spirituality. Shout and speak in tongues and jibber jabber. Now, I'm not making fun of the Holy Ghost, but that's all some of you are doing, because it makes you feel and look spiritual. But when you leave this altar and you're not talking right, that is not the Holy Ghost. I was visiting revival. Amen. And there is a church near us, but there was, the altar was taking place, and there was a lady in the church I knew through the years, how she had run the men of God down, run the church down, had just, her mouth was terrible with gossip and sowing discord among brethren. And the Holy Ghost was moving. And I was on the platform with the other preachers, and I saw her come shouting up the middle aisle. And I did what the Bible said. I tried the spirit. And I said, Lord, is this you? I know in my mind. I said, Lord, I know how that woman talks. I know what comes out of her mouth. Is this really the Holy Ghost? And I was standing there praying about that. When the pastor's wife in that little church, they had held their tithes back. They had tried to push them out the door. A good man, a good woman. And one of the women who had been one of the ringleaders, the church boss, amen. She was standing over here on this side. And of course, she had her hands up and she was praying too. But I saw that pastor's wife with tears coming down her face as she walked across that front. And she walked over to that woman that had run her down and talked about her. She laid hands on her and crying and praying for God to help her. And I felt the Lord speak to me and said, that is the real Holy Ghost. Amen. It's more than just getting up here speaking in tongues. Amen. He's going to have control of your being. Amen. Another thing you notice about that young child, the Bible said that when that spirit came on him, it threw him in the fire and it threw him in the water. The devil was trying to destroy him, trying to cause him to commit suicide. Amen. That spirit inside of him controlled where he went. And I wish we had a group of young people here tonight that the Holy Ghost would control where you go. Amen. That you would get so full of the Spirit of God. Amen. That when it's church time, you're going to be in church. Oh God, when it's revival time, you're going to be in revival. When it's prayer meeting time, you're going to be at prayer meeting. When it's work day, amen, the spirit inside of you is going to control where your feet go. It'll keep you out of worldly places. It'll keep you out of the things of the world. It'll keep you out of worldly churches. It'll keep you out of oneness churches. It'll keep you where they're preaching false doctrine. The good Holy Ghost will say, don't go there. He'll warn you not to go to the places of the world. And he'll always bring you to the house of God. You need enough of God, the Holy Ghost, that he controls where your footsteps go. Amen. Going to those places where you know people are at that have pulled you away from God. Going to those places you know where there are magazines on the racks and it's always pulling on you. Taking your feet, taking you to places that you know your parents would not approve of. That's why you hide. That's why you keep it from your parents. Amen. That's why you go when nobody else will find out. Amen. I want to tell you here tonight. Amen. When you get the good Holy Ghost in you, it'll keep you out of the worldly concerts. It'll keep you out of the rock and roll Christian concerts. When you get the real Holy Ghost inside of your heart and soul, I don't care how many skillets they lick. Amen. If you've got the Holy Ghost, amen, you don't need to be there. Amen. Raising your hands, amen, to the spirit of the world. Amen. Worshiping with the spirit of the world. Amen. You'll get full of the devil. You'll get full of the spirit of hell. It'll start controlling you. Why don't you let the Holy Ghost control where you go? Let him get in your feet. Not just when you shout. Not just when you run around the pews. But when you leave the church house. Let him control where you go. Hallelujah. Get possessed of the Holy Ghost till he controls your life. There's a man in St. Mark's Gospel chapter 9 who the Bible said he also had a dumb spirit, but this spirit was also blind. This spirit inside of him controlled what he saw. Amen. It controlled where his eyes was going. Don't get to squirming on me. Praise God. I see some of you fidgeting. Because you know it's not right before I even say anything about it. But when you get enough of the Holy Ghost, he will control what you see. He will control what you watch. Amen. The light of the body is the eye. And if thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be darkness, your body will be filled with darkness. And I want to tell you, the Holiness Church has always stood against television. And when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you won't watch movies. And you won't watch the ball game. And you won't watch the television programs. Amen. The Holy Ghost will control what you see. Amen. You won't go down to the red box. Whenever you get full of the Holy Ghost, you won't look it up on Netflix. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, he will control what you're seeing. He will control what you're looking at and what you are watching. It seems like nowadays YouTube is holiness TV. Because it's not produced in Hollywood, then it's all right for holiness people to watch YouTube. Now, your pastor will determine what's right and what's wrong about it. But it seems like to me if it's got a viable purpose, educational reason or business reason or some substantial reason, but just for sheer entertainment, for just for the sake of having something to watch. No, no, no. And when you get the Holy Ghost, He's not going to let you do it. When you get the Spirit of God inside of you, it's going to grieve Him. When your eyes are cast, you know you have seen things on YouTube that's immodest and unholy. It goes against what the church stands for. It goes against what your parents stand for. Amen. You've seen things, amen, that you ought not to see. And the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you, amen, to get rid of it. I have a smartphone. I have an iPhone 5. But every app on my phone is only something that is needful and necessary. My wife has my phone blocked. My YouTube is blocked. My server is blocked. My app store is blocked. I don't want anything on my phone that would ever displease my Lord. I said, I'll get rid of it first before I let the devil use it as an instrument to pull me away from my God. Oh, you listen to me, preacher. When you get the Holy Ghost, He will control what you see. Social media, you get the Holy Ghost, He'll control what you see. Brother Russell McDonald was here this morning. Brother Russell McDonald is the reason that I'm in the holiness movement today. I was in the Assemblies of God, and my wife and I wanted holiness, but it was going the way of the world. Brother David Miller, is he still here tonight? Brother David, I saw him here today. He came and preached revival at that church that my wife was raised up in. He talked with us one night after church as we bore our heart to Him. Amen. We pulled out of the Assemblies of God, went to Brother McDonald's church. Again, he was visiting revival. Now, just to tell you how long ago that this was. We were in revival. The evangelist was preaching against MySpace and Bebo. Amen. Anybody remember that? I never looked at it, but He was preaching against that. Now you may have a question in your mind, is it right or is it wrong? Is it something I should do or should not do? While the man of God was preaching and he named Bebo and MySpace social networking, the Holy Ghost spoke with a message in tongues. And Brother Russell McDonald interpreted the message. And the Holy Ghost said, there are five people in this service that are committing this sin. Now, you may have a squabble with somebody, but you should not have an argument with the Holy Ghost. Brother Sumner is here, his brother. I believe this is Brother Scott. I get them mixed up. Are you Scott or are you Allen, brother? Amen. That's Brother Scott. All right, thank you. Amen. Brother Allen was at Fairland, Brother Lloyd's meeting. And Brother Sumner got up and said, I know that social networking is a sin. Because where I'm from in Honduras, when people get saved, the first thing they give up is Facebook. I've experienced that myself. Just a couple of years ago, a young boy came out of never been to a holiness church in his life. And whenever he got saved, the first thing he gave up was Facebook. And he told us, the reason I gave it up was I knew how wicked and how violent it was, and I could not have that and really live for God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. How do you judge it, preacher? Anything that brings a sinful lifestyle to your eyes, anything that puts your vision upon the path of the wicked, anything that brings you into their party scene, anything that shows you, them having fun, committing adultery, and committing the sins of the world. Your eyes does not need it. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And when you get full of the Holy Ghost, amen, He'll control what you see. He'll control where your eyes are cast. Oh, we need some young people if we're going to keep what these men are handing down. If we're going to keep it, Brother Savage. Amen. I heard you say the Lord said, sanctify yourself. I heard the man of God say, if we're going to have revival, we got to sanctify ourselves. And we're going to have a move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It cannot come any other way. Amen. Now I believe this. I believe the moment you're saved, that's the most opportune moment to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are pristinely pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can get no more saved than you are at that moment of conversion.
And if you keep on praying right then, you'll go right on through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if you didn't pray through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you got saved, then there are now things in your life that you must be sanctified of. There's things you've got to give up the world. Amen. I read to you where our Lord said, whom the world cannot receive. That's why I know that the oneness doctrine is not right. Amen. When I speak to a oneness individual, I ask them, have you ever had anybody come to your service, come to the altar and pray for salvation and repent? That's their first step of being saved. And then pray through to the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. And they said, oh, sure, we have it all the time. And I tell them, well, sir, God does not baptize sinners in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your doctrine said you got to be baptized in Jesus' name and speak in tongues before you're saved. But you don't get the Holy Ghost until you get washed in the blood. And young people, that is exactly how it is. You've got to be sanctified by the blood. You've got to be sanctified by the word. You've got to be sanctified by the spirit. You've got to have a cleansing in your life. Separate yourself and God will baptize you. I loved what the man of God told us tonight. The Lord said, sanctify yourself and I'll give you a move of God. I want my girls and musicians to come back around and get ready to help us in the altar here tonight. Amen. Just a few more things before I get these preachers up here tonight. In the beginning, the Lord shows us how important it is to have a move of the Spirit of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and voidness and darkness, amen, covered the face of the deep. There was emptiness. There was voidness. But then the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. If your life tonight is empty and void, if you're having troubles in your life, what you need is a good move of the Holy Ghost tonight. The Bible went on to say that when God made Adam, he formed him of the dust of the ground. Adam was a perfect specimen of humanity. And he was tall, dark, and handsome. He was muscular. He was built. He was perfect. Probably looked a lot like me. Amen. Maybe not. Praise God. But he lay there lifeless. And it doesn't matter how much time you make yourself up, put on the fanciest clothes you've got, take all the time on your hairdo, but if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're lifeless. But the Lord breathed upon him and Adam became a living soul. Amen. It was a move of the Holy Ghost that met the need within his life. Praise God. Ezekiel 37, the word of God brought things together, but it needed the Holy Ghost to sweep through that valley and to bring life. Is that what we need here tonight? Come on. Is that not what we need here tonight? We need the Holy Ghost to sweep through this place. Now, I'm going to tell you, I found out, I've not preached nearly as many youth camps as some of these good brethren up here, but I found out one thing. I usually don't have much trouble with the young people, but it's always the parents that tell them, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go that far. You don't have to give that up. But we need young people right here tonight that'll get full of the Holy Ghost, that you'll do what's right no matter what anybody says. I want to tell you right quickly before we pray. Stand with us if you will. Don't move yet, preachers. Let me say this. The difference in demon possession and Holy Ghost possession. When someone is possessed of the devil, they lose all of their ability to change it. It becomes involuntary. But when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, you still must yield yourself unto God. You must yield yourself and allow the Spirit of God to work in your life. Amen? Praise God. As they get ready to play here, I want the preachers, y'all come help me, if you will, line up across this front facing the congregation, 35 and under. If you're a God-called preacher and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to come and help us here tonight. Come with quickly, if you will, all the way across the front. Some of you stay on this side right here. Amen. If you're a preacher's wife, 35 and under, I want you to come to the ladies' side and get ready to help us pray for those young ladies that come up as well. Amen. Brother Savage said something tonight. He said he was greatly encouraged, Brother Webb, by what God had done here, what God is doing. I want you to look at these young preachers here tonight, 35 and under. Look across this
front here. Young men of God that are baptized in the Holy Ghost, that believe in holiness and want to have a move of God and want to help you have a move of God. Amen. Praise God. Now I want those of you here tonight, first of all, the first ones I want to come is those that you say, preacher, the devil has bound me down in things in my life. Maybe it's fear, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's other things, men, women, boys, girls, it doesn't matter to me, but if you feel like you need to be free, if y'all open up that little center aisle, sisters, move over a little bit, please, to give them room to walk, to come up front. If you say, I want the Holy Ghost to fill me to the point that I can break free, I want the power of God to fill my life, I want you to step out first. While they're stepping out, if anybody here does not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to step out right now and come to this front and raise your hands. And these men of God are going to come and start praying. Come on, start moving this away. It doesn't matter to me why you're coming. If you want the Holy Ghost, if you need to be refilled, if you want God to sanctify your life tonight, if you want the power of God to do something, amen, let them move up. Make room. Come on, out of every aisle, every set of chairs. Come out right now in the name of Jesus. And come to this altar. We need 100 people tonight. We need 100 young people to go through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Make your way on toward the center. Amen. Make your way. Come on, everybody that will help us right now. Amen. Let's bind together in faith. Let's bind together in faith. And let's believe God for an outpouring. Come on to the front, sisters. Push your way on into these preachers. Push your way on to this center part here. And let the power of the Holy Ghost begin. Begin to fall upon us in this place. Come on, church. Those of you that can't make your way to the front, come as close as you can and lift up your hands and help us pray. You men of God on the platform, come help us pray. We've got to have a move of God. We've got to have a bread from heaven. We've got to have the Holy Ghost to touch us here tonight.